You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello out there, everybody, and welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Darren. Sitting across from me is
Donald, and to my left is
Supreme Chancellor Kevin.
All right, so here's the thing. We are going to do something a little unusual with our format. Right away, we are going to get to a phone call, a man with a very busy schedule. We are talking about one of the legends of comic books, Neil Adams.
Hey guys, I don't have a busy schedule. I'm
just saying. I find it hard to believe, Neil.
I think this country is closed down. Hello. Anybody out there?
hey, Neil, I'm in the hype business, so, you know, I have to make this look like you have a busy schedule, my friend.
I know. It seems like it ought to be, but I put in three calls to DC Comics. I couldn't even find them. where did you guys go? I don't know. You got the wrong president, man. I don't
know. Hey, Neil, this is Kevin. Just to let you know, we are 10 days apart between our birthdays. You're a fellow Gemini.
Oh, really?
Yep, I'm on the 5th, you're on the 15th.
But we are many years apart, my friend.
Yes, that is true.
Yes, indeed. You'll be an old fart like you are.
Oh, true. But I'm also from the New York area as well, just like you.
Oh, so you're a smartass.
Yes, I am, actually. Yes, I am.
Okay, check his ass, guys.
All right, well, that's going to get right into our first question. So, according to the interwebs, my friend, you were born in Governor's Island, New York, and I just heard from a source here, you used to hang out at Coney Island quite a bit.
Well, first, in Governor's Island, that would imply that I was born underground. No, I was born on the island in a hospital, just like regular folks. But the interesting thing about it is when people ask me where I was born, I say, I New York.
Me
but
too.
There's this island, you see, in the middle of the river, and it's an army base, and they have a hospital there. So my granddaughter, who went out to Governor's Island because they were doing all kinds of refurbishing and building out there, she noticed, she came back, and she's kind of a smart ass too, because of course she's a New Yorker. She came back and she said, Grandpa, there's a plaque out there that talked about famous people who were born on Governor's Island, and you're right at the top.
Really?
Really, yeah. Oh, it's a plaque.
That's
right?
Got to be a good feeling.
Neil Adams, born on Governor's Island. Of course, that plaque will go down pretty soon with the reconstruction, but still.
You said you were not into the hype. Okay. So our first question here is, what made you want to open up your own shop here in Burbank, sir?
Didn't you forget the Isle of Coney?
I did forget the
Come
island.
Come on.
I'm like Jim Nance here. I just move. But yeah, go ahead. Talk about the Isle of Coney.
Yes, the Isle of Coney. It's a it's a Greek island. It's in the middle of the Aegean, and you had to go past the mermaids. Are you guys listening to me? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm absolutely listening to you.
Brooklyn's an amazing place.
You are master misdirector. I love it.
It's a Greek island. No, I spent a lot of years in Coney Island. In fact, if you guys listen to our auctions, which of course we're doing a lot now, because guess what? There's no comic book convention.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of auctions, and we're doing like two a week out of the New York studio. Our studio is basically closed. You know, everybody's closing their business, but we can be there, and we're doing auctions and sales on Tuesdays and Fridays, and we're going to be starting up a sale in association with the Krusty Bunker soon. We've been trying and experimenting with it, and I think it's going to be really good because people are going to really know what's going on and be aware of everything, because Nick there is aware of everything. He knows exactly what's going on. He even reads the comic books.
Say hi to the people, Nick.
You know,
hi, people.
Nick's a brilliant young man.
Well, I don't know how brilliant, but I mean, he reads comic books. I don't know how brilliant he could be when you think about it, you know.
So Neil, have you ever personally attended the Coney Island hot dog eating contest?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's for esoteric and elite people. I would never do that, slobbering hot dogs down my throat. But I have been there on the middle of the winter where you do that Arctic thing where you go out for one day and you go to the beach and go into the water.
Oh, yeah, the polar bear
thing. And freeze your the nodes off. It's really
the polar bear plunge, right?
It's a wonderful. Let me just say this: Coney Island is a wonderful place if you're nuts. I was not nuts when I went there, but I had become nuts. And so one of the things that I do is I tell stories at our auctions before we start our auctions off. And some of the best stories actually take place in Coney Island or the Isle of Coney. The knife fight under the boardwalk, for example, that was a good one.
Now, wouldn't you agree that Nathan's hot dogs are superior to Pink's hot dogs out here?
I just mentioned the knife fight under the boardwalk, and you're talking about Nathan's hot dogs. I'm sorry.
He likes to cut his hot dogs in half, my friend.
I do.
Using a knife.
I do.
A knife fight under the boardwalk, guys.
That's brutal.
Did you win?
Did you win?
I'm alive. I'm alive.
I guess you should see the other guy.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Or not.
And the other guys went away for a couple of years. Not so good. The cops are pretty good at Coney Island. They jump right to it. So they got these guys, and they had really bad reputations to begin with. So they shouldn't have started with me.
That's why you're a survivor, Neil.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, so I also worked on a carousel. Probably the best carousel in the world. Of course, anybody who works on any ride anywhere thinks it's the best one in the world. We did have a thing called the Steeplechase Carousel, and my least favorite part about it was to try to get the 400-pound fat ladies from going up on those horses too high off the ground.
That's scary.
For them to actually levitate up to them.
So that
we had to kind of lift them and push them up, first to get their leg on the stirrup, and then to kind of launch them up, because, you know, ladies that weigh 400 pounds, there's really no hand grips. You know,
well, there's a lot of things to hold on to.
Regular people have elbows and arms and stuff, but big fat ladies, they have like big chunky blobby areas that you just have to kind of hoist.
But Neil, you certainly had a handle on the situation.
It wiggled around. And they'll get up there, but you sort of, you can imagine seeing a Warner Brothers cartoon some kind of cartoon. And the guy gets behind the lady and pushes up with his back, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, they want to get off by themselves, you see?
Yeah.
And so you say, ma'am, can you just wait till the horse comes down? Wait till the horse comes down. Yeah, no, ma'am, don't do that. No, don't do that, lady. Oh. And so they say, then one particular lady fell on her keister, but she had her foot in the stirrup.
Mm.
Think about that. Ouch. Think about the view.
So why weren't you pointing them more towards the benches there? You know, there's benches.
I don't have to go on that bench. I can get up there. Don't worry about me. Oh.
All right. We are currently talking to a comic book legend here, Neil Adams, and also, as I'm now learning, a ride operator at Coney Island who is multi-talented.
They wouldn't let me ride operate the ride. The ride was for the boss.
Oh.
Big Jim McCullough. I was like, let me put it this way.
You didn't really work there, did you?
I did not only work there, I was the least attractive, ugliest guy there.
Don't say that.
I'm telling you, every other guy was like so good looking, man. They specialize in hiring good looking guys. You know why?
Why?
Because you wanted to get the girls to ride.
Ah.
And if you got the girls to ride, then the sailors and the soldiers, they would ride after them.
We're still talking about the carousel, though, right?
They'd catch the gold ring and give it to a girl, and get the girl to get a free ride, and they might have a date tonight.
All right.
There you go. That's not so bad.
That's not so bad at all.
So we specialize in good-looking guys, except for, me, you know, freckle-faced, four-eyed.
I see a photo here that was just handed to me by your associate from the 3rd San Diego Comic-Con.
At the Moscone Center.
At the Moscone Center with you standing next to Jack Kirby. And I don't know, sir. I mean, I'm partially opinionated. Maybe you're not quite as bad looking as you said, although the pocket protector is not really.
I'm not saying I was bad looking. I'm saying I was the worst looking of those guys.
But that's some masculine chest hair I'm looking at, sir.
You should have seen the guys on the ride. hair growing out of place.
I don't know if I'd want to see
hair growing out of it.
All right.
But we got the girls on the ride.
And that's the most important thing.
That's right.
So we want to move on to your shop here, sir.
I'm stopping you, aren't I?
You are absolutely stopping me. You are. I mean, it is your world, and we are merely living.
Neil is the guest, so let him be.
I am letting him be, but I can still push in my agenda while
he's got. He's got to move along. Right. I get it.
So we're going to talk about the Crusty Bunkers.
Yes.
What inspired you?
On Magnolia between Pass and Cahuenga, and the only reason I remember that is because I love to say Cahuenga.
It's a cool name.
It was Indian was named Cahuenga.
You can always tell when people are new when they move here. When they can, it's always like Tajunga and Cahuenga.
That was me. That was me.
You're right. It is totally true.
Like Hashim. Yeah.
So after having a long career working,
what do you mean after? What do you think I do now?
Hold on now. My apologies, sir.
All right. Have you read the last issue of Batman versus Ra's al Ghul? You're not paying attention.
Yes, sir. My apologies, Mr. Adams.
Well, I'm sitting here with a copy of Batman number 232, looking at that. So, I'm well aware of your Ra's al Ghul glory for sure.
Well, you're talking about the old. You're talking about the stuff my dad did.
Yeah, exactly.
See the pause you did there? It was pretty good.
Something your dad did, yeah.
My dad did that.
So the deal here is how to phrase this. What inspired you to open up this comic book store, sir?
Okay, so you guys don't necessarily know this, and there's no reason why you should, but see, I suddenly got serious. I sounded serious for a minute there, didn't I? But I'm not going to continue that way. No, I'm just kidding. It's like Donald Trump throwing you off, thinking he's going to be sincere. Anyway, so we had an art studio there, and we would travel back and forth from New York to L.A. doing animation design and storyboards, comps, and animatics for the advertising business, and that was our studio. And for a while, it was successful. Then it stopped being successful, and it became too wearing to go back and forth from L.A. to New York, except for things like selling projects to Hollywood and stuff. We did a 1 year of Bucky O'Hare cartoon shows, and that put us back and forth quite a bit. But it just didn't work out for us. So the question was, what are we going to do with the building? Am I going to sell the building? I've been there we had that building for 30 years. Years. All the time, my son Josh, another cartoonist that you should know about, comic book guy, Josh Adams, was born and grew up. So we had that all that time, 30 years. And then the question was, what do we do? It's losing money. Do we rent it to somebody? Do we sell the building? Or, why don't we have a comic book shop? And I am the best landlord in the world. I'm telling you.
There you go.
Hey, Nick, am I the greatest landlord?
You're amazing, sir.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. So with a great landlord like me, why not have a comic book shop?
Absolutely.
Of course, we didn't expect viruses to come along and stuff like that. And right. We didn't necessarily expect the comic book business to be as rough as it was, although I had been warned. The truth of the matter is that I love comic book shops. I visited comic book shops on a constant basis, going to these conventions all the time. I was a guest at a lot of comic book shops, and I was warned against ever doing a comic book shop. And I think what happened was they warned me just enough. They just said, it's terrible, it's awful, don't ever do it, which, of course, made me say, I think I'm going to open a comic book shop.
But you didn't just stop at a comic book shop, did you, Neil?
No, I didn't. That damn gaming, it gets under your fingernails. I had two buildings. What am I going to do? I could leave the comic book shop into the other building, or I get really good chairs. People will like to sit on them and play games.
It's true. I like a comfy chair.
And aren't the chairs nice?
I'm sitting in it now. Yeah.
Very comfortable, sir.
Yeah, mostly you get those those tin chairs that you get from school. Like, I don't know what the hell those things are, but my wife, Marilyn, shopped for chairs on the internet, and she said, these only cost maybe, twice what the other ones cost. Why don't we get good chairs?
Oh, God
bless
you.
So, by golly, we got good chairs. We got some TVs there if we want to do a special gaming. There's all kinds of stuff available for us. It's rigged out to be the best gaming building in L.A., I hope.
Yes, if I may interject, yes. We have 8 tables, 2 private rooms. 3 big television screens, and plenty of comfy chairs for miles on end.
And what is the cost to play games here at the shop?
I'm happy you asked. Neil, do you want me to field that, or do you want to?
No, no, go ahead.
It's kind of a, you know, tough price. A lot of people aren't comfortable with it.
Right.
It's the high price of $0.
Are you kidding me?
And $0.
$0. Now, places around town, they charge anywhere from like $10 or more just for you to give you the pleasure.
I know. $0 is so controversial.
Playing your own games.
Exactly. Yeah, playing your own games. Not theirs. Your own games.
And I feel that people told Neil that he needs to charge no less than $10 for this comfort zone. And Neil said, you know what? I'll do better. And you did, didn't you, sir?
Well, you know, Nick, I listen to you, and I sat down and I thought about it as, am I gonna lose a big $10 for a guy sitting down and maybe buying a game or telling everybody that it's a wonderful place to go to? I think I'll lose that $10.
Yeah,
that's just fine.
It's
that's
smart, fine. Smart business. It draws people in.
It was. It still is. People are still clamoring to get in, and we're like, sorry, we're closed for your safety.
Right. Right, but I'm clean, yeah. Okay?
And good. You'll stay that way.
Right, yeah,
that
yeah.
is the only reason that we're not packed tonight, guys, I got to tell you, because, boy, were we on a build, huh, until this virus came along.
Yeah,
that's been great.
Our Thursdays had 30 to 40 people. It was almost standing room only. I had to set up more rooms on the comic side just to make do.
Now, guys, Nick over there is one of the managers and judges and does a lot of these things all around the country. This is an expert here.
That's right.
Thank you.
I was lucky enough to get Nick based on the recommendation of Buzz that you guys may who go to conventions. You know who Buzz is. He's the kind of Asian guy that's very loud and you can hear him like three blocks away.
Yes.
He's a New Yorker.
Oh, the kind of Asian guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very tall, large, broad-shouldered, loud Asian guy.
Well, he's not that tall.
Well, he's for an Asian guy. Thinking about it, you know? He's 6 feet tall.
That is pretty tall.
He's got shoulders like a Sasquatch.
By anybody's standards, I mean 6 feet tall.
Although he can't push up as much weight as I can, he's pretty strong.
Now, Neil, is this environment of like table games and comic shops, is this like a new deal for you, or have you participated in this before?
Well, you have to remember, I've been to comic book shops all over the country, and I've gotten to see the best, and I've gotten to see the worst.
True.
Mm. I'll give you, rather than go over the whole thing, because you're there, you can see the floors, you can see the airiness, you can see the feel there, you can get a sense of it, you can see there's going to be an outdoor atrium that's going to have concrete on it, it's going to be very nice, and it's going to be air-conditioned, okay?
We have two outdoor atriums.
But I will tell you, be the biggest deal of all, and it just encapsulates what I believe and what I believe in. I've been to so many comic book shops where at the end of, let's say I do a signing for 3 hours, okay, and it's at the end of the 3 hours and I haven't gotten up to take a shit, okay, for 3 hours, but of course I gotta do it, right?
You know, right,
what do you gotta do? Okay, you get up and say, can I go to your men's room? They say, well, you have to take this key, you see, and you go back there, and if you just go through that red door, and then you turn left and go past those boxes over there, and then you go over there and past those boxes, it's sort of right there, but the one on the right. And so you make your way all the way to the back, like you're going into, you know, a Get Smart spy thing, and you're going, and even when you go in the bathroom, sure enough, there are boxes in the bathroom because they use the bathroom of the store, so you got to wheedle between the boxes, and then you sit on a toilet seat, and the damn thing wheels around. I hate that.
Yeah. Most shops are tiny. This place is huge.
You're trying to take a poop, right, and that damn toilet seat is wiggling around like it's doing the hula. And you're trying to get your sphincter unlocked, and it's very, very hard. So what I do is...
You got to hold up your grass skirt, too.
Let me tell you what I do. I lean down, and I tighten that bolt on the right. And I lean down the back, and I tighten that bolt on the left.
Hold on, sir.
And I lean back, and I tighten up the other side, and I wiggle a little bit, and I tighten the other bolt, and I tighten the other bolt until I get that seat solid as a rock.
Yes, sir. You hold on tight.
And I go out to the middle of that... a comic book store, and I find the owner, who's usually standing in the front of the store waiting with a big smile on his face to say goodbye, and I lean over to him and I say, I tightened your toilet seat. And usually what he says is, what? I say, I tightened your toilet seat. You tightened my toilet seat? And everybody in the everybody in the store's head whips around.
You see,
and
where
I come back, hey guys, when I come back the next year, and I go into that bathroom, okay, it's first it's neater, but second there's a plaque on the wall that says Neil Adams tightened our toilet seat. Now, in contrast, we have four bathrooms right up front, two on one side, two on the other side, men and women, okay, right up
check
in
them
the
seats.
Front of the store. You walk in that door, you got to take a poop, there's the bathroom right there.
That's wonderful.
It's neat and clean, and if you're in a wheelchair, you can get into all four of them, you're fine.
I'm going to check them seats right now.
Why do I like that? Because I'm a human being, and I like to take a shit.
You know, I'm just really glad that our audience can now know that you're a regular guy in more ways than one.
Regular? Did you say regular? You guys have regular.
Neil, you're an extraordinary person.
You're a good boy. You can take this castor oil so you can be regular, Neil.
Neil has a high standard of moral fiber.
Oh! I like that.
That was good. That was good.
Hey, Neil, can we actually...
I learned from the best.
Neil, can we ask you questions about comic books?
Oh, my God. He actually is checking every seat.
Anything you want.
All right.
Get to it past the horizon. Humor.
So you've been in this game quite a while, sir. So I want to ask you, you've seen a lot of things.
Not so much that I can be called sir. Go ahead.
All right. Going forward in the print, you know, comic industry, what type of stories do you think could be most appealing to readers right now?
I think a little bit more human stories. I mean, I think we've fallen into an area where we're blowing up planets and destroying cities and killing thousands and millions of people with superpowers that are just so powerful that you can't comprehend them. And I think people would like to sit back and go, God, you know, these guys are like gods. I mean, I don't understand. So what you're seeing is more and more independent publishers are publishing stories about, just plain murder.
Yep, like Image.
You know, a basket full of heads. I think, a tendency to get a little bit back to reality because there's no place to go from the heroes that we had. We call them heroes. They're not heroes. They're gods, and they don't seem to care if people die. I think it's a weakness in the strain of writers that we have now that ignoring death on a mass scale is okay. I think it started with the Green Lantern when it practically caused the city to be destroyed. I mean, these are not good things.
That's true.
Green Lantern, he destroyed the city. It was Coast City, right?
That's right.
I don't think we want our kids reading about things like this. They'll give us Donald Trumps all over the place.
But Hard Traveling Heroes was an excellent story from back in the day that you, Denny wrote and you drew.
I don't think Hard Traveling Heroes would do badly today. If it were created today, it would do just fine because it's taking you down to a realistic level. And we do need to get down to that stuff. There's too much of this, like, you know, out there and crazy. It's like watching Marvel doing movies and you go, what's next? Oh, my God, you know, let's destroy a universe. It's just too much. And it's also, there's a certain, I hate to say this, amorality. I'm not immorality. But
nihilism.
Where you kind of go, yeah, who gives a crap? Well, you know, I don't want my kid to know that, and I never did. I mean, I'm not saying that things were better. I'm just saying that they've run out of shit to blow up.
Yeah,
I agree.
They got to get back to, you know, a little bit of reality. I think we could use another comic book company coming out there and doing some comic books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe by somebody who has a comic book shop in L.A.,
huh.
And someone with over 60 years in the game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Might you know someone like that, Neil?
You should keep your eye on guys like that, you know?
Would it possibly be in continuity, you know? Maybe?
Yeah. Oh, what would it be for me to say?
Now, Neil, when we were walking around the store here, we noticed you have a number of pieces of original artwork that you draw. And you've been doing that for quite a while, obviously. And we're like really impressed by some of the prints that you had here. And I noticed a few of them, of course, are for sale. Are there in particular...
Neil, they're all for sale.
Yeah, in particular, though...
Hey, guys, I'm trying to understand. I'm a whore. you can play the game, but you know, I'm a whore. Well, I'm
at least you're honest.
You can buy me. You can buy me. I'm cheap.
Is there a character that you prefer drawing the most?
Well, you know, kids ask me that at conventions all the time, and I know you're not a kid, but they ask me at conventions all the time. But the truth of the matter is, you could take the costumes off of almost any comic book superhero and put it on another character and look the same. They all look the same. They all got the same muscles. They're boring. I mean, they're just muscle guys. You know, it's like they have no character. You can't tell one from the next unless you look at their costume. You know, their faces look the same. It's like Betty and Veronica. You know, just change the hair. Choose the other one. I would rather draw a gorilla.
To
be perfectly honest, gorillas are way more fun to draw. Women are more fun to draw than men, but gorillas are really a lot of fun to draw. Well, giraffes, too, but you don't get a chance to use them very much. But gorillas, they're great.
What about sloths?
Well, we have a ton of gorillas in comic books.
You can't see their muscles. You can't see the muscles on the sloths. I've thought about that, but gorillas, one of those older men, male gorillas, those silverbacks, there's something.
So are we talking Megilla gorilla or...
No, a real gorilla, you children. You're a Bigfoot guy.
And I'm a
Littlefoot guy now, currently a Littlefoot guy, but you're a Bigfoot guy, so you look at Megilla gorilla. You're a Littlefoot guy.
So you're a Land Before Time fan.
No. Bigfoot means cartoon characters.
See, that's what a Bigfoot and a Littlefoot is. It's not the Bigfoot Sasquatch. The Bigfoot is a cartoon, guys who like cartoons with big feet. And Littlefoot guys are guys with big body superheroes with little tiny feet. They're called Littlefoot guys.
Yeah.
So I am currently a Littlefoot guy. I am at heart a Bigfoot guy. But now, currently, because you can make more money at it, I'm a Littlefoot guy.
All right, so Gorilla Grodd.
Now you've learned that. That's good.
No, not just we have learned that. Our whole audience has learned that.
Exactly.
Yes.
All eight people.
Educated.
That's really generous.
All right, 17.
That way they don't get anything. They have to stay separate, all seven of them, listening from seven different locations.
6 feet apart. You
got to social distance it, and I've got a great rule of thumb for this one.
That's why we can't open the doors and have our regular store opening. We can't have it.
We try
to get our comic books to people other ways, and people ought to pay attention to what their local comic book stores are doing and the way they're trying to service them without being open.
Yeah, we're maintaining a Joey Ramone in height distance from each other. A good 6'6".
Yeah,
we're all Joey Ramones.
And you guys have the website? Is that correct?
Yes, we have a great website, Neil. You want to hawk our website for us?
Well, you can talk it. You can talk it. Well, we've got the neiladams.com, which comes from the New York office, and now we're opening a Krusty Bunkers website. It's going to be almost mostly comic books. It's going to have other stuff, but mostly comic books,
and board games. And board games.
And board games, of course. Nick, how could I forget? and those bundles, Nick. How can you forget?
I didn't. I'm actually holding one of the bundles. I was waiting for you to give me a good transition to hawk one for you.
Let me just say those bundle things are really good. People just love them because it's almost a game. It's almost a game. Why don't you tell the guys about the bundles?
Well, our bundles aren't like bundles, proper. They're actually mystery boxes.
Ooh.
Yes.
So instead of getting the inexpensive mystery box, I'm going to go ahead and grab our top tier $200 mystery box. And this box
you
is
mean,
really good. And
it's only
I was
worth $200.
No. The box is $200. The minimum of books inside is worth more than $200, with the chance of getting a very expensive book that will total the total of $200 or more by itself. What you don't know, Neil, is I talked to your regional friend Kevin here, your Gemini brother, and I talked him into buying a mystery box. And we're going to go ahead. I've already collected the money. Don't worry. Money first. I know how it works. You New Yorkers are pretty crafty like that.
Are you going to open one?
Yeah, we're going to open one live.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Let's see what we got. Let's go ahead. I'm going to put it right next to the microphone. And let's go ahead.
This is cheap advertising and promotion.
Oh, this is really hard to open.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
So heavy.
This thing's really tight.
Oh, my. Look at all these books.
What do we got?
Well, I want to list the individual books. I'm going to go a couple of variant covers. The Turner Box is your guaranteed signed book. So here's one signed by Bill Sienkiewicz. Here's one with Adam Hughes' signature on it.
Ooh.
Very good.
All right, let me get to the very back. The
signatures, guys, are worth money.
Yes, your guaranteed signatures.
Especially your signature, sir.
Well, your guaranteed signatures.
Well, yeah, I am.
Your guaranteed signatures
homie
in this.
Homie is not cheap. Homie is not cheap, I got to tell you.
Your guaranteed signatures in this one, for sure. And wow. Some variant covers. And, we're at the last book. What have I got here? Yep. You robbed the bank there, Kev.
My God.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this. All right. This is issue 244 of Batman. And
Did you plant that?
No, he picked the box.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little upset with him. I think he might have been taking peeks in when I wasn't looking.
You peeking, Kevin?
My goodness.
You know, we were so busy checking all the bathroom seats to make sure they were bolted down right. I think Kevin snuck one past us.
There's not a comic book shop in America that doesn't check their seats before I come to.
Definitely now. What's that, Kevin? What's that at the very bottom of this issue?
That looks like a classical John Hancock from Neil Adams himself.
Hey, those are worth $50 if I don't make a mistake here. The $50 won't buy itself. Yeah,
at least
you resell that thing. You get.
He's
got
no. He's got a.
Plus whatever the value of the book is.
He's got a great book. He even signed it the correct way. NEAL.
You mean unlike Neil the horse?
True.
Yes, okay. Yes. So once again,
you guys don't know Neil the Horse. What's with you? What kind of fans are you?
Oh no!
If you were old and balding, you would remember Neil the Horse.
Well, we don't want to divulge what we know about Neil the Horse because you browbeating us about it is more entertaining for the audience.
Okay.
Hey, so
I win.
Real quick, I just wanted to mention here at Krusty Bunkers, you also have a pool list, and you do it looks like a 20% off discount. Is that correct?
Did you say 20?
Yes. Yeah.
I think there's an echo in here, 20%.
Let us be honest, guys. There are comic book shops in the city that have a 20% discount.
Not many.
It's not many. That's true. But there are some, and you guys, if you want to get a good deal, you should go to those shops and you should take advantage of their pull list. You should take advantage of ours if you're anywhere near us, and if you're interested in, this is the thing about it, and this is between you, me, and the fence post. Okay.
This is semi-serious.
I know a lot of guys in Hollywood. Okay, I've dealt with a lot of guys in Hollywood, actors and directors and stuff, and a lot of them are fans. And so we're communicating with them and inviting them to come to the store and take advantage of our bathrooms. And we're trying to make a more or less a hangout of comic book artists, actors, directors, producers, and people like that. So that when you come to the store, you could run into anybody. You could run into anybody that makes Hollywood and L.A. great. And that's what we're trying to do with Krusty Bunkers. We're trying to make a place where it's sort of Neil's place. And if you come there, you may run into Jim Lee. You may run into Sylvester Stallone. You may run into... You notice I'm keeping the level low here.
Absolutely.
And you can come and visit our store, and you just don't know who you're going to run into and sit down and have a cup of coffee with in our little atrium area.
It's a
wonderful place. And by the way, one last thing, whether we're getting to the end of this or not, there's a shelf as you come in the door and you turn to the right, a bookshelf that has artists' art books like Norman Rockwell and Bob Peake and Austin Briggs and Bernie Fuchs and Al Parker. Art books that are meant for art students, art directors, and artists or people who wanted to be artists so that you can see the shoulders on which we stand. It is not necessarily just that you come into the store to buy a comic book, to read your comic book. It's that you come in to enjoy the art and to see the artists that went before us so that you can get a sense of a small amount of the history of where comic books come from. And if you don't buy that stuff, I'll turn my back on you because I'll ignore you because I think that more and more people ought to pay a little bit more attention to this industry and the business that we've created from artists for the last 100 years.
It is an art form absolutely in and of itself, and it definitely owes a lot of credit to the past. I will say, since you're very influenced by the wobbability of toilet seats. that my bathroom.
We slipped off that serious part really good there. That's
thank
good.
You, thank you. My bathroom is an homage to comic books, and it sounds strange, but I put up I rotate.
What a surprise!
I have a rotating gallery of 12 different comic books at a time that are all themed based upon different things. Holidays where you see it, you know, Superman being not a nice guy, you know, things like that. So
killing Robin.
Right. Yeah. So you know, I have an appreciation of the art, and I feel like that's the only place in my home where I can get people to just stare at it is when they're in the bathroom. And if that's where it's got to be, then that's where it's got to be. And
you'd have to close. You'd have to close your eyes and reach for the toilet paper.
Exactly. You got it. Well, you got it.
Speaking of art, we are going to be having art classes here soon. It's taught by the great, the only John Bogdanoff.
That's right. Wow. That's incredible.
Well, if it wasn't for this virus, he would have was it this week he would have started or next week?
It was supposed to actually start today.
Today, wow! He would have been there teaching an art class today.
But we're going to be
originally. But he's going to teach as soon as we get over this. He's going to be teaching, and others will come. I'm sure that others that there are a lot of people that would like to share what they've learned.
And we're going to be, of course. And we're gonna interview John hopefully sooner than later. But also on the subject of art and, you know, great artists, you have your art displayed prominently all over the store, and it's also just happens to be for sale. Isn't that right?
That's right, because I twisted everybody's arm.
Yes,
This is true.
In fact,
as we opened the store, when we finally came to our grand opening, we shipped 50 drawings from our New York studio to the LA studio to go up for sale so that people could buy my artwork at the store at a reasonable price.
And in fact, we actually gave away one of your $300 plus pieces.
Well, I didn't like that.
Well,
you know,
it was a door prize, because whenever you make a purchase at the bunker, you get a raffle ticket.
Drawing up the door.
Really? You've got a raffle ticket when you purchase something?
Yeah, as long as it's not like a food or beverage item.
Yeah.
Any purchase, comic book, game, pack of cards, you get a raffle ticket. Your limit is 7 per week. I mean, come in every day, buy one item.
When's the raffle? Is it like every week or
the raffle is Tuesday night at close. We post it on the Instagram, and the new item is chosen that evening, and the new raffle starts Wednesday morning, new comic book day.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Jeez.
Isn't that Nick clever? Isn't
You guys should have levered that. Oh, man.
We don't want to embarrass the other stores. I mean, we want to give everyone equal footing. Not everyone can have a Neil Adams in their wheelhouse.
Sorry, other comic shops.
I mean, we've got 4 bathrooms and Neil Adams.
Right.
They have what? Maybe 1 bathroom? Tops?
And table games.
And we have table games.
Do you get a prize or something if you guess which bathroom Neil Adams may or may not be
in?
Are
you being sarcastic about my bathroom?
I don't think they are. He actually checked every single one of them just now.
I did check all the seats.
Like bubbling in your stomach, you're going to change your mind.
I did get up and I checked the seats, and you're right, they're secure.
And I did have some Panda Express earlier.
And you do have some of the best toilet tissue in town.
Whoa, don't tell everyone we have toilet tissue here, because we might, you know, get raided.
Right.
That's true.
They take it home with them every night.
We only use 2-ply. Hate
those 1-ply. No one likes 1-ply.
This was Toilet Talk with Neil.
Yeah.
I know, it's terrible. Let's take excerpts out and do a little reel on Toilet Talk.
Sounds great. Well, Neil, we're very appreciative that you joined us over the phone here. I know we literally never met until 1 minute before we started recording, so I appreciate you being so full of information.
But you get the feeling that I've done this before.
Right? Yeah.
We'll definitely have you back on, because you're a lot of fun, sir.
Yes, thank you very much.
You guys are a lot of fun, too.
We appreciate that.
And please enjoy the store. Well, we love people to enjoy the store. It's actually our favorite thing.
Will do.
Real quick, I just want to chime in, because no one said it yet. We're Neil Adams, Krusty Bunkers, Comics and Toys and Games on 4710 West Magnolia Boulevard in sunny Burbank, California, 91505.
Excellent. Yeah, you want the phone number, because you can't get in the store.
I know. I was going to get to that next. Area code 818-980-8852. Number again is 818 980-8852.
And what's your website again, sir?
The store? I don't know. I have no idea.
we're putting one up for the store. In the meantime, it's neiladams.com.
All right.
Okay. There Excellent. We go. Well, Neil, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
It was a pleasure to have you on. And
we'll have you back on.
Thank you for all your wonderful work in the comic book industry. I can't love it enough, so thank you so much.
And don't worry, Neil. I've been telling everyone else that we have new books coming in every week. Pull lists are still here. You'll get great stuff. And we have some great board games for people to play in isolation, like The Shining or Betrayal at House on the Hill.
There
or Let's Be Your Own Hero in the Living Room and play Pandemic, the game.
Oh, boy. Wow.
In spite of the fact that we're not open.
Yay!
All right. Well, thank you, Neil. You have a great night, okay? Yeah,
bless you and your wife, Marilyn. Take care.
Pandemic to you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to be pretty much it for us. Guys, this was the Real Short Box here, and we had just interviewed Neil Adams, the legendary Neil Adams, the great Neil Adams, the one and only Neil Adams.
The real Neil Adams.
You can find this podcast everywhere, guys. We are all over the internets. We are on SoundCloud now.
We're on YouTube.
We are on Spreaker.
We're on iTunes.
We're on Google Play.
Spotify.
We're on Blueberry.
I think we're still on Spreaker, right?
Yeah, we're on Spreaker still, even though no one listens to us on there except for one guy. So thank you, one guy that does that. We appreciate
and
you.
And actually, during this recording, we have elected to do a second podcast about the Krusty Bunker because there's so much we were not able to cover.
We might just be doing that right after this. So yeah, find us on Instagram, Facebook, all the fun stuff. And if we can't see you outdoors right now,
in a couple of months, we'll probably see you
at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.